My guest at this time is the Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, founder of the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny, otherwise known as BOND. He is a columnist for WND.com and is author of the new book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. And Reverend Peterson, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, let's just dive right in. Obviously, there's a lot of issues involving racial tension that have been in the news in recent years, from Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown in Ferguson, which you open your book discussing. We now have a lot of campus protests around the country. We certainly saw the Baltimore unrest earlier this year. Your diagnosis, your main diagnosis of the problem of the tensions in Black America rests largely in the breakdown of the Black family and specifically the absence of fathers. How exactly is that leading to the tensions with police and campus officials and other things that we're seeing?
That's a good question. Thank you for that. First, when you don't have a father in the home, the worst thing that can happen to children is not to have a good father in the home where, while they are growing up, they can look at and observe and see the right way to go, the right way to deal with life. And most of these children don't have fathers in their home. 73% of Black babies born out of wedlock today. And so they are growing up spoiled and angry. They're angry because in their soul, within themselves, they miss their father. There's a longing for the father. And then the anger, there's anger because most of the mothers are turning them away from their father by telling them that the father's no good, that he doesn't love you, right? And so there's a void there. And they're being spoiled because the mothers are spoiling them. So when they go out into the world, they're being told that the problem is racism. You have the hustlers, what I call in my book, the alchemists, waiting for them, and instead of helping them to overcome that home life, they tell them that it's racism, that white people are against them and trying to hold them back. And then the Blacks believe that because when you're angry, you cannot believe the truth. You can only believe a lie, and whomever caused you to become angry control you. And so the civil rights movement, Barack Obama, the liberal whites are controlling Black Americans for personal gain, to gain power and wealth, and to really change America into a socialist society. And because these Blacks are angry, they don't know it. They don't know that they are being used by the people that they trust. And unfortunately, most white Americans are afraid. Some have false guilt about the black people's situation, and some are afraid of being called racist. So they let these people come into their schools based on affirmative action. They let them go in based on affirmative action, saying that if you're Black, you can go in. You don't have to earn their way. And because they are spoiled, they have no appreciation for what they get free, and they do not respect the people who are giving them something without making them earn it. And so they're going to push and push and push until somebody say no to them, and then that will force them to start looking at themselves. But until we return them to the Father, until we say no to them, it's going to only get worse.
Let me follow up on a couple of points that you made. First of all, there's some debate whether the breakdown of the Black family began before some of the social programs in the 60s that were designed to help out-of-wedlock mothers, or whether those programs ended up fostering that. Is it one or the other? Is it a combination of both? What does history tell us on that?
Well, it's a combination of both in that I grew up on, as I write about in my book, The Antidote, I grew up on a plantation down in Alabama, under the Jim Crow laws, Black and white drinking fountain, all the whole deal. But what I had in my favor is that I had family. My mother and father did not get married, but she married my stepfather before I was born, so I would not be born out of wedlock. I had my grandfather and my grandmother. They made me work. They taught me how to work and be responsible. They taught me not to hate. And because they said there was good and bad in all races. So there are good white folks and bad white folks. The same thing with Blacks and others. So I didn't have that negative anger passed down to me in my home. And so what happened was when the civil rights movement started, they took the fathers out and the government became the daddy. And again, the worst thing that can happen to a child whether male or female, black or white, is to remove their fathers away from them. What people don't realize is that there's a spiritual order to life, and that order is God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, woman over the children. It's not a competition. It's just a spiritual order. When the children love the father, when the wife and the children love the father who love God, then life works well. But when the father, that representation of God, is removed, then everybody fall into a state of anger, and then the children of the lies waiting to use them. But it started with the civil rights movement when they removed their father.
We're talking with the Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson. The book is The Antidote, and sir, you share quite a bit in the book. You mentioned that you were born on a plantation in Alabama, and by the time you were born, your birth father was no longer with your mother, but you did have a stable environment. Talk about how you were at one time, you believe, on the same road to some of these people we've seen in the news, like Michael Brown, and how you were radically changed.
You're right. I grew up with a void. Even though I had a stable environment, I still had a yearning for my father. I wanted my earthly father. My mother tried to turn me away from him whenever I would ask for him. She would say he's no good, so I resented her for that. I moved to California at the age of 18, and for the first time, I started listening to Jesse Jackson and others, and they said that white people was my problem. And because they were in the, forefront, they were adults and they were popular, I thought they were telling the truth. I ended up, for the first time in my life, hating white people. And my life went to hell in a handbasket. I ended up on welfare. I hated white folks. Everyone, even if they were my friends, or they went to church with me, if they disagreed with me on an issue, especially a black and white issue, I automatically thought that they were racist. And there was nothing that they could do could convince me, because you cannot convince an angry person. It's like trying to convince a drunk. You can't convince them that they're wrong. They don't see what they really see. And long story short, I finally went to God at the age of 38, and I asked God to let me see what was wrong with me. He allowed me to see that the resentment that I had for not having my father and for resenting my mother was holding me back in life. It separated me from God. And so he also showed me that I needed to forgive. So I went and forgave my father. And when I forgave my father and mother, God forgave me. He took away all that anger, all of that confusion, the doubt, the fear, and he gave me perfect peace. I now have an excellent relationship with my earthly father, and as a result, I have a good relationship with my spiritual father. And that's what changed my life.
Obviously, you grew up in the civil rights era, and at that time there were major racial problems in this country, major racial discrimination. And while I think a lot of folks, even those who disagree with you most of the time politically, would point to the breakdown of the black family as an issue, they would say there's still latent racism, even though the laws have been changed to promote equality, that there's still not true equality, that there's injustice, and then the police look at blacks differently than whites and so forth. Does that play into things at all in reality, or what do you make of that argument?
I can honestly tell you, without a doubt, this idea of racism is an illusion. Racism does not exist. The problem is, most black people hate white folks because they're past that anger that they have that starts in the home onto white people. And so they hate white people, and because they resent white people, they're living in a state of darkness, and they're living from a different reality than those who do not hate. They can't see that white people are not trying to hold them down. White people do not care about, this race issue. They want to resolve it. And they're being used again by their leaders, so they can't see that racism does not exist because they're in a fallen state. And this is why white Americans, in order to get them to see, have to put their feet on solid ground and say no to these folks. You would treat them the same way you would treat your own children. If you realize that you have spoiled your children and now they can't function, they get mad at you because you won't give them what they want, then they threaten to take it or kill you. At some point, you say no to them. And then they'll start to wake up. That's the only way that these black people are going to get over their problem. White people are going to have to say no. And then for the thugs who are committing crimes, they must go to jail, harsh punishment. And once white people say no, these folks are going to have to look at themselves. And once they look at themselves, that's when their lives are going to change. And I write many stories in the book about it. Barack Obama, Michael Brown, even Louis Farrakhan, all kinds of stories to prove my point. We did some serious research for this book. And when you read it, it's a book that I've always wanted to write. When you read this book, it's going to change your heart. All people will change from this book.
Let's just get a little more specific on what you're talking about there in terms of saying no. What ideas or what programs do you think are spoiling a lot of black Americans right now?
The first thing that white Americans need to say no to is this notion that you are racist. Let them call you whatever they want, but you speak the truth to the issue. And God is of the truth, and that would change it. We need to get away from affirmative action based on color. We need to stop giving these people free welfare, free affirmative action, free everything, because you're corrupting their nature when you do that. They lose all sense of hope and the inability to do for themselves. And so we need to say no to free stuff, and we need to say no to this idea that racism exists. And then it will stop. Until then, we are in trouble, especially with this president in the White House, who, by the way, has the same problem. He wasn't raised by his father. He was taught by his mother to hate white people. Barack Obama has never had to earn anything. It's been given to him because of his color. He doesn't have the same respect for God. He doesn't have the respect for the country. And he is in that same fallen state that these black radicals that you're looking at every day on TV, running white people away from their jobs, accusing white people, cursing and carrying on. Obama has created that environment even more so because he's in the same state of mind.
Reverend Peterson, let's go back to where we started here, and that's with the breakdown of the black family. I believe the latest statistics show that over 70% of births of black babies are out of wedlock, and obviously when you factor in the divorce rate on top of that, there's a lot of broken homes. So given the circumstances we're dealing with now, how do you go about reversing that?
We got to be honest about it. And for the last 25 years, you know, I started a nonprofit organization called Bond, and we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. And what we're doing is getting men to turn back to God, love him with all their heart, soul, and might, and then get married, start guiding their families in the right way to go. So we start with the family. We've had good success without the government. And people can check us out for more information, if you don't mind, by going to RebuildingTheMan.com. RebuildingTheMan.com. So the first step is start for men to turn back to God. And then the second step is that when we run into situations where these people are mad and accusing you, you got to tell the truth. Got to tell the truth. They must start earning their way in order for things to change. And right now, unless we mustered up enough courage to tell the truth about this anger that starts in the home first and not with white people, there's no hope for this country. Because how can God help us when we refuse to speak the truth about what is wrong? And the problem is the destruction of black families and not white racism. I guarantee you that.
Reverend Peterson, we'll have to call time there. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us today.
And thank you so much for having me on.
You bet. The Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson is founder of the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny, otherwise known as Bond. For more information, RebuildingTheMan.com. He's a columnist for WND.com and is author of the new book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.